Good to see you all. Happy season of Epiphany. And of course, Epiphany is the season in which we celebrate the revelation of Christ to the Gentiles, in fact, the God of Israel, through the incarnate Son to the world, which had been living in darkness before Jesus' coming. So we celebrate these two today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Right. So I'm going to talk to you about the reading from Isaiah today, first reading that we just heard. So, and I'm going to talk to you about the power of God's word to change our lives. I was thinking about whether I should read you this letter or not. I think I'm not going to. It's probably a little too disturbing. But they found lots of things. The Egyptian desert's a great place to preserve things, right? So they found things that are amazing there. In fact, they've gone through old garbage dumps, basically, and sorted through them. And they found things like not great documents of kings, but ordinary letters that people sent to each other back in the first century. So they found one letter. And as an example, and it's a letter from a man who is a worker. He's gone from his city further south in Egypt somewhere, and up to Alexandria, which is the capital city, to work. And his wife is at home, named Alice, spelled A-L-I-S. His wife Alice is at home, and she's pregnant. She's a young son, and she's pregnant with her second child. He's gone off to work. She hasn't heard from him for a long time, and she's starting to get worried. And so she sends word through a friend of theirs who's also going up to Alexandria to work that she is concerned about him, and she wonders what's going to happen. And she, deepest fear that somehow he's forgotten about her. So we have this letter that he sends to her, and it's very reassuring. And he says to her, this is where I am. You don't need to be concerned. Calls her his sister, which is what they did in Egypt. You call your wife, or husband, brother, or sister. It's very, very affectionate and very concerned. And, he says, take good care of our child. Like, just really a very loving husband. And then at the end, he refers to her pregnancy. And of course, which he would do. And he closes the letter by saying, if you bear a son, if it is a boy, let it be. If it is a girl, cast it out to die. And then he continues, and you have said to our friend to say to me, do not forget me. How could I ever forget you? Therefore, I urge you not to worry. It's kind of like just continues as normal. And of course, that's shocking to us, right? You kind of go, this is a very affectionate letter, except to the part where you say, let your child die. It was going pretty long, pretty well till then. But it may be shocking to us, but it wasn't shocking to them in the first century in the Roman Empire. In fact, it was normal practice that you would, if there was a child that was inconvenient to you, especially if it was a girl, they would often be abandoned to die. And nobody felt any compunction about it. You hear the tone of the letter, right? Very nice, very affectionate, very husbandly, and whatever, do what you need to do. So in the empire, in the ancient world, the weak, I hate to make these overgeneralized statements, but it's true, the weak were not valued. If you were a slave, you're a child. Do you remember the part where Jesus sits a child on its knee and blesses it and puts hand on it? It was a very specific thing he was doing when he did that. He was declaring that the child that was sitting on his knee was a human being. The ritual for declaring him a human being. And by thus, he was saying all children are human beings. Very radical thing for not Jews, but for pagans who are listening this to hear it. It was this Roman Empire was a place where weakness was not valued. It was despised. And where strength was valued, and the strong determined the fate of the weak, and nobody questioned that. Well, again, except for these pesky Jews. Isaiah was in the belly. So Isaiah, which we just read from, was in the belly of another different, but not so different, pagan empire. As you know, the Jews had been taken, had been conquered, taken captive. Many of them had been taken to Babylon, where they were living under Babylonian oppression. The Babylonians, too, valued strength, not weakness. As I've mentioned to you before with their predecessors, the Assyrians, their founding myth is that the universe was founded in violence and that human beings are slaves to the gods, and that's how they lived. You know, the way you believe the world starts is probably going to end up affecting the way that you live. So Isaiah's living there with his people, in the, again, in the belly of the beast of a great, violent, strength-oriented, power-oriented empire. And he predicts, you know, the Messiah will come, and he will free us. He will liberate us. And you think, wow, you heard him promise that today, the liberation of Israel. And you're going, wow, how is he going to do that? Well, a big army would be good. He killed all the Babylonians. That would be good. I don't know, whatever, blood, famine, you know, all the plagues, God, you know, rain them down, whatever, destroy them, please. They're horrible. Look at the way they live. Look at their idols everywhere. Look at the way they worship power. Look at the way they conquer and move people around like they're in a chessboard. Look at their mass acts of violence. You know how to deal with these guys, right? And Isaiah says, yeah, God is going to bring his liberation. The word he uses, you heard it, is he will bring justice to the nations, to the Gentiles. He will bring justice to the pagans. And you're going, yeah, I know what that means. I've seen lots of mobster movies and, you know, whatever. I know what it means to bring justice to people. And he says, yeah, this is how he's going to bring justice to them. He's going to teach them the Bible. He's going to teach them the Bible stories. He's going to teach them the commandments. And he's going to teach them how to love the one true God. And he's going to teach them how to have compassion for the weak. You heard him say it. He will come to open the eyes that are blind, to be a light to the Gentiles. And how can he do this? I mean, you know, Messiah is going to be one Jewish guy. How is he going to do this? It is because, remember the story of the burning bush with Moses, where Moses stands in front of the burning bush and God speaks his name to him? Because this Messiah has a name. We heard it earlier in Isaiah. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. And he has inside of him the bright and burning light of the name of God. So, this sounds like a crazy prediction, right? This is the prediction in Isaiah, that someday all the Gentile nations of the world will gather together, listen to the Old Testament being read to them, listen to the stories, and learn the commandments, learn to worship the one true God through Emmanuel, the Messiah, and learn to live what's taught, the commandments that are taught in the scriptures. That's a crazy thing, isn't it? Who believes any of the predictions of the Bible? Who could believe that something like that would be possible? Doesn't it sound ridiculous to you? Right? Well, here we are today, right? Yeah, the prediction of Isaiah has come true. Here we are, the nations of the world gathered together. And this is my plug for continuing to pay deep attention to the Old Testament. I know it's like an obsession of mine. But here's the reason why we read the Old Testament in as we assemble together, is because Isaiah predicted it would happen. And whenever we do that, it's the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. When we Gentiles gather together and listen to the scriptures of Israel, Isaiah's prediction has come true. And when we obey the commandments of the Old Testament, okay, we don't observe the 613 commandments, but at the heart of the 613 commandments are two things. Make space, prepare yourself to receive the Holy God into every aspect of your life. And especially value the weak who have been despised throughout much of the ancient world. Those two things. Listen to his word, follow his commandments. So when we listen to that letter, of course, there's a great book written by Tom Holland. I don't know if anybody's heard it, called Dominion. Has anybody heard of that book? He's a Roman historian, not a Roman historian. He's a historian of Roman history, non-believer. And he goes, I got to confess the truth. He says, everything that we in our Western society believe to be ethical and true comes from this Jewish rabbi and his disciples, comes from the Old Testament, comes from the early church. He said, I have to admit that it's true. I mean, it's inarguable. He's not the first person to say that. It's inarguable. He said, that teaching has permeated the entirety of the world. And he would know, as a guy who studied ancient Rome, he says, it's the truth. So the light has dawned on us Gentiles through God, Emmanuel, who has opened our eyes to see and has freed us from the prison of the bondage under which we formerly lived. This is done because he's with us, is the bright burning light of God's presence, and because he opens his word to us for us to hear and be instructed by. So we thank God today for the gift of God's word, which forms our imaginations and provides a pathway for our lives. His prediction has miraculously been fulfilled today, as Jesus said, today in your presence. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are the word. And thank you for your word in scriptures. Open our eyes to see the wonders that are there. Form our minds, our imaginations with the stories and the history and the truths that are there. Guide our lives on a daily basis with your instructions to us. Help us to recommit ourselves every day to being formed by your word, which is in scripture, and who is our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.